Most people in the United States could get through their lives quite happily without knowing anything about the federal sentencing guidelines, unless you are a very specific type of attorney or a very specific type of criminal. The iron rule of federal sentencing will probably never darken your day. But for Illinois residents, things are different. Prominent politicians in this state get brought up on federal criminal charges with such regularity that there is profit in knowing a bit about the guidelines, even if only to read the news. The federal sentencing guidelines were created in the mid-1980s in a hug fest of bipartisanship that hasn't been seen since, well, the mid-1980s. Sentencing at the time was, and in some state systems today, still is, haphazard. People convicted of similar crimes would get radically different sentences, some of which seem to be based on race or socioeconomic status or even geography. So the guidelines meant to standardize sentences. Two people, even if they were in different parts of the country and came from different backgrounds, would get a similar sentence for the same crime. Another component of the guidelines was truth in sentencing. People sentenced to a term of 5 years, for instance, could not be paroled after 6 months. This truth in sentencing part, at least, seemed an easy fix. But the consistency of sentencing looked a bit trickier, so the Sentencing Commission went with numbers and a grid. Crimes, along with aggravating or mitigating circumstances, were assigned numbers. These, when summed, left the sentencing judge with a final tally from 1 to 43, running down the vertical side of this grid. The second part of the grid, the horizontal line, was for criminal history. This, divided into 6 rows, ranged from no criminal background to a prolific criminality. Once these 2 numbers were figured, a line was drawn across from crime level and down from criminal history. Where they intersected was an area with still more numbers, a range of months that a judge could pick a sentence from. Okay, so that might be a bit difficult in the abstract. So here is how it just worked for former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. His base offense level for theft or embezzlement was 6. He got another 2 levels added for misrepresenting his work on behalf of the government, another 2 for being the organizer or leader of the scheme, and another 2 for abuse of trust. He then got fully 14 more levels added for the amount of money involved. That comes to a total of 26. Jackson got a 2-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility, which in his case includes an allocution in court, and another 1-level reduction for his guilty plea. So his ultimate crime level was 23. The other part of the equation, the criminal history category, was a 1, the lowest level. The line from level 23 crime intersects the line from a level 1 criminal history at a range of from 46 to 57 months in prison. That gives the sentencing judge the discretion to give Jackson anywhere from just under 4 years in prison to just under 5 years. Now, there are 2 guideline complicating factors. The first was built into the system, and it allows a judge to depart from the prescribed range of months if the judge senses some factor not adequately taken into account by the guidelines. The other wrinkle is that the guidelines are no longer mandatory, thanks to a 2005 Supreme Court decision. Federal judges should and do calculate the guideline range, but they do not have to hew as closely to it as they once did. What that means in practical terms is this. 10 years ago, Jackson would be looking at a prison sentence of around 4 years based on his guideline range. Now, I expect it will be a great deal less than that, and maybe as little as half. We'll know for sure in a few weeks. I'm Travis McDade.